reading to you from the 15th chapter of Luke, and with the 10th verse. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago at a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. I must tell you, friends, I've had such a wonderful 85th birthday. Oh, my stars. My family took me out. My quartet took us out. It was a great day. I'll do that every day. Well, I want you to know, dear friends, it's cold here in Colorado. We don't have any snow on the ground, but it looks like we're fixing to get some. But I tell you right now, it's a joy to win souls to Christ. Friends, if you're not doing it, if you're a born-again believer, and you're not witnessing, and you're not trying to win souls to Christ, you're missing out on some of the greatest joy. You say, well, I don't know how. Well, find someone that does win souls and have them take you with you. They'll show you how. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see if the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, before we start the message today, I have a couple, three prayer requests. I have a prayer request for my son, who is 60 years old, and he's going in for a lung transplant and possibly a heart transplant, but we're hoping that's not going to happen. And then pray for, excuse me, Gene and I. We started our... our diet again today, and it's, you know, everybody who diets knows it's not easy, but what is easy? Anyway, you pray for that. And then I got a son-in-law that's really in bad shape. He went in for an operation to give him a hip operation, and they found out he's got problems beside that, so they had to send him home. He's in so much pain. His name is Ralph, and you pray for my son. His name is Stan. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege of praying for people. We do that a lot, Lord, and there's been an awful lot of people praying for me and for Dale Freeman and his worldwide ministry of prayer chain they have, and how we appreciate that, and without it we wouldn't be much. Father, you know the needs of all of our radio listening family. You know those that are hurting tonight. You know those who have lost loved ones. And I just prayed especially with them. Be with the pastors today, Lord, who are discouraged. Please help them, Lord, to get out and teach their people to witness and do soul winning. Oh, that's so important. We'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'd like to speak to you about Christ's most remarkable converts. It's kind of difficult to choose the most remarkable one that he led to Christ. There was a rich convert, Joseph of Arimathea, and there was a religious convert. Remember, Nicodemus was a religious ruler of the Jews, yet he was still lost and on the road to hell. Now, religion cannot save a person's soul. Like Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, Nicodemus knew all the facts about Jesus, but facts will not save you. I believed that there was a God when I was a boy, and when I was in the Navy, I prayed all the time, but I was still lost as a goose in the grass. But when I was confronted by a man of God about my spiritual condition, I had to admit that I was a sinner, that in fact I didn't know Jesus. Well, I confessed to God that I was a sinner who was sorry enough for his sin that I was willing to repent of my sins and invite Christ into my heart to save me. What took place that morning? Well, God removed my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh, and then I was born again. Ah, my name was written in the Lamb Book of Life, and 1 year later God called me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. No, you've heard me say this so many times. No, I didn't want to be a preacher. And some of you might say, well, you're not a very good one. Well, maybe not, but oh, friends, you can't condemn me because I sure love to tell people how to be saved and invite them to Christ. Well, I'm sure I'm not one of Jesus' most remarkable converts, but boy, I'm one of them. Now, there was converts among the rejected. You remember the woman at the well? I will assure you, anyone, that no one was so bad that God cannot reach down and save you. He said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." I'm so glad that appears in God's holy, unerring word. As an alcoholic, I thought I was the worst person on earth. What I like about Jesus saving that lady at the well, she was an immoral. She was an outcast. But Jesus let her go into town and tell the people that she had found the Messiah. And people rushed out to meet him. See, here she was an immoral woman. She was shacking up with a guy married 5 times. Jesus told her about it. But see, you're not so bad that God can't save you. Oh, friends, on my radio broadcast, I've received calls from prostitutes. I've received calls from homosexuals and lesbians, and they tell me, "Oh, listen, Cecil, since Jesus came into my heart, I'm a new person." That's the thing about 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new." You're not the same person. See, when he rips out that old heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh, you are a new person. Yet, and don't go back to the old way of life. Listen, the devil will tell you after you've prayed the sinner's prayer, the devil will tell you, "Oh, that's a bunch of hooey. That's not going to work well. He's a liar, and that's why he's going to hell, because he tried to take over heaven." And we have other people trying to take over America, and it's going to have the same problem. The most remarkable may be the thief on the cross. Now, the paths of 3 men meeting in death. 2 were completely guilty. They were thieves. 1 completely innocent. That was Jesus. 2 paying their debt to society. And 1 our debt of sin. 1 dying in sin. And 1 dying to sin. And 1 dying for sinners. Friends, listen. It's so hard for me to understand why in the world the Lord would be willing to die for you and die for me. We deserve hell, but not him. And God the Father, when before the foundation of the earth, had planned on sending Jesus into the world. See, this thing in the Garden of Eden didn't take God by surprise. He knew these things were going to happen. But he prepared a wonderful lamb that would go to the cross, pay for every sin that you ever have committed or you ever will commit. And he does it, and he stands out with outstretched arms saying, "Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden." Tonight, some of you are heavy laden with sin. And you think, oh, it's just like, you know, friends, when I was smoking and I was a roofer, see, and I'd carry up a bundle of shingles. That's when we didn't have conveyors. I'd carry shingles up on a 2 or 3 story building and roof it. And then I'd sit down, reach in my pocket, pull out a cigarette and light it up and suck that poison down into my lungs. Hey, I'm paying for it now. I've been on I'm on oxygen 24 hours a day. So, yes, I paid for that. Well, what makes the conversion so remarkable? Well, in verse 32 it says here, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Now, Jesus died between two criminals, and Jesus was to make a grave with the wicked. Now, in Isaiah 53:9 it says, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. He must die between them, and his grave would be near them. Prophecy has been fulfilled. Now the rich must also be considered. You see, Joseph of Arimathea would place Jesus in his grave. Joseph was a wealthy man, and all prophecies concerning Jesus must be fulfilled. Many prophecies converged at the cross. Hey, friends, listen. There's only one great prophecy that we're waiting for right now, and you know what that is, the coming of the second coming of the Lord. Oh, friends, he's coming back. Oh, yeah, he is. They made fun of, well, why did he have to go to the cross to die for it? But you don't believe it, but he's coming. Some of you don't believe he's coming back. Oh, there's going to be a sound of the archangel. Gabriel will blow his trumpet, and Jesus will appear on a cloud with outstretched arms. Those who were dead first before us, died before us, will come from the grave first. Those killed during World War I, II, III, and all these other wars that have been born again, after that, they will not only be for the ones before us, they will come from the grave and they will go up in the air. Boy, that's going to be a sight. You know what's really going to be scary, though? Think about it. Here's a Christian pilot of a big airliner. Co-pilot's a Christian. Zip! When the rapture comes, up they go. Woo! Where's that airplane going? Without a pilot, they're going to go down. Well, you say, what about the Christians? They're go up. Yeah, that's so neat. You know, in verse 42, that's a remarkable prayer. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, my stars. And he said unto Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, friends, the thief realized that he was a sinner. But in verse 41, it says, and he indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing. Oh, this other guy, he was hot-headed, and he said, yeah, you be the Jesus, you come down off that cross. You say you saved others, you save yourself. Well, he said, we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. I can't remember when I didn't believe I was a sinner. See, my wife did not think she was a sinner, bad enough to go to hell. But my friends in Romans 3:23, it said, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, are you one of those people that don't believe you're a sinner? Well, I know you've lied. You lied to your mama, you lied to your dad, might even lie to your wife or your husband. Well, the second thief admits he was guilty. He sees justice in his punishment, and he proclaims the righteousness of Christ. Well, the content of his remarkable prayer was this: he called Jesus Lord. You know, friends, one time I was over witnessing to my lost sister-in-law, and she said, Cecil, what makes you think that I'm not a Christian? I said, well, tell me, Jesus is your personal Savior. Her mouth just fell open, and she said nothing. One cannot confess that Christ is their personal Savior except the Holy Spirit let them. Well, this man never saw a miracle by Jesus. He never heard another sermon by Jesus. He never joined the church. He was never baptized. But he said, "Remember me when thou comest in the kingdom." He didn't pray to escape the cross. He believed the Lord would establish his kingdom. And he looked at the crucified and called him his king. J.C. Ryle, a great Bible scholar, wrote, "If there ever was a soul hovering on the brink of hell, it was the soul of this thief. Some would have thought him too wicked man to be saved, but he wasn't." Now, this remarkable promise in verse 43, "And Jesus said to him, to this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Well, the promise was given by someone who cannot lie. The only promise ever given from the cross. Now, the questions answered in this promise was salvation by faith alone. You're assured salvation. Heaven immediately follows the death of a believer. Now, here is a believer driving his car down the road, and they get hit by a... Well, do you know what? Up here in the mountains one time, there was people driving down the highway in their car, and a great big avalanche covered their car. They were found dead. But if they knew Jesus, they were ushered right into heaven. Well, in conclusion, lessons from this remarkable text for Christians. Never give up on sinners. Seize every opportunity to witness for Christ. Now, lessons from this remarkable text for unbelievers. And sinners can be saved by faith in Christ. Again, no baptism, no joining a church, no taking of the Lord's Supper. And I read in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Did you know what? You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's a free gift. All you have to do is realize that Jesus Christ came to the world to die for you. And all you got to do is be willing to turn your back on the old way of sin and then come to Jesus and invite him into your heart. That's all you have to do. Now, you say, "Wait a minute. Well, you don't have to wait one more moment to believe. Once you believe, and once you write your name down the Lamb Book of Life, you are a new person, and that's it. And that settles it. And he will give you the blessed assurance in your heart that you've been born again." You know, years and years ago, there was a deacon down at the Park Rose Church in Portland, Oregon. And this deacon had this lost friend. He'd take him to church. Even brought him a nice study Bible. And one Sunday morning, the old man got so under conviction that at the door, he tore up the Bible and told the preacher that he would never come back again. Well, first of all, you and I would probably be looking for lightning, wouldn't we? But the old deacon went to his house in the afternoon and talked him into coming back to church one more time. He did it. And that night he was gloriously saved. The deacon never, ever gave up. Friends, are you witnessing to people? Are you witness to your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter or your aunt or your uncle? And they just seem to get harder and harder. Just remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that draws her heart. Now, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, they can't be saved unless they are here. Well, who's going to tell them? Sure isn't the angels. The angels of heaven cannot introduce a soul to Christ because they've never been lost. That's left up to people like you and my. Look at when Jesus called those people to be his apostles. Why, they were fishermen. They were unlearned men, all but Saul of Tarsus later. But they were unlearned men. But they dropped everything they had and they followed Jesus up until they too was killed. Well, I prayed for my younger brother for 23 long years that he'd be saved. And he was saved in a hospital and died 3 days later. He witnessed to my older brother, gave his testimony, and I prayed for my older brother for 26 years, and I personally had the privilege and honor of leading him to Christ. 1 year later, he died, and I was at his bedside, me and my sister. And I had an opportunity to read the 14th chapter of John and to pray with him and wish him well, and he left us. Well, I want to ask you, beloved, have you been converted to Christ, or are you just a lost church member? You know, friends, you can go to a church and be just as lost as can be. But you must be born again. That's Jesus' word. That's not what Cecil said. I'm saying that's what he said in the 3rd chapter of Gospel of John. Ye must. You have to be born twice if you're going to go to heaven. Well, you're the only one that can answer that question, whether you've been born again or not. The Bible also tells us in 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have life eternal. See, I don't have to come up and say, are you saved? Or you say, well, you know whether you're saved and you know whether you're lost. Again, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest or peace. Let me ask you, friend, do you have an empty feeling tonight? Do you feel something missing in your life? Won't you let Jesus come in and fill that void? You say, Cecil, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. Of course I don't know that. But the Lord does. Now, he said, if you come to him, he won't cast you out. No. He loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right. Now, here's the question I'm going to ask you right now. Do you want to go to heaven? Now, you either say yes or no. That's all you can say, yes or no. Now, if you're not saved, you're not headed for heaven. You're headed for hell. Simple as that. But if you want to change your course, we can do it right tonight. If you feel that tugging at your heart and you feel an emptiness and you feel you want Jesus in, bow your head in me and pray the most powerful prayer ever known unto man. Kind Heavenly Father, in the very precious name of Jesus, Lord, I confess that I'm lost, doomed, and damned. Father, tonight I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe he loves me. And I want to invite him into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to have you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not sit down and write to ask you for any money. I won't, and I don't care where you go to church. I just want you to go to heaven. So, if you'd like to talk to me, you don't understand what I'm talking about, call me, collect 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. God bless you.
Shame. path is blessed, Savior.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, if you don't know Jesus, please do it before it's too late. Tomorrow may never come. This might be the last opportunity that God will ever give you to trust Him. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you facts. Well, friends, be sure and pray for me and my diet. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I need help, but God will give it to me. And pray for my wife and I as we go to prison this next week and the rescue mission, that God will anoint us and give us souls for our hire. So until this time next Sunday night, be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.